game started.
We will be getting Anita Borges online for a statement and Matthew Brown.
So we got. Well, that's me, obviously. Almost there. Now, isn't that a wonderful picture of Kim? Yeah. Well, Tim, can you hear us?
Did you ask if I could hear you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just checking.
So, what was that, Tim? Your college photo?
I think it's on my, it's the one from my work badge.
Oh, your work badge. Yeah. Makes you look pretty preppy.
I think it was my first day of work.
Every day. Like to bring the City Council meeting to order on Thursday, September 22nd, 2022 at 7:02 p.m. I would like a roll call, please.
Ichari here. Adine here.
Askew here.
And Potter here. I do want to make a quick statement in response to the meeting that took place the night before last, Tuesday night.
Last night was planning commission. The night before was the YNA meeting.
There was a lot going on. So the YNA meeting. So over a year ago, the City Council considered all options on how best to support the citizens of Yamhill with community protection services within the city's limited general fund. The option of contracting with the sheriff's office was discussed, along with other options, including a police service fee. The council chose to support the city's police department by creating a source of income to alleviate the budget burdens with minimal impact on the citizens of Yamhill. The city council does not support in any way the elimination of the city of Yamhill Police Department. The Yamhill police officers have chosen to serve the people of Yamhill professionally and loyally because they are family in our community. They are part of a historical fabric that makes Yamhill where we all choose to live. Each one of them is dedicated, respected, appreciated, honored, and valued. The City Council is working to improve our officers' working wages and available resources within the reasonable budget adjustments. The City of Yamhill Police Department will not be going anywhere anytime soon. And I would like to thank the Yamhill Police Department for their dedication. All right. That will hopefully answer some questions. And then we move on to public hearing. I'd like to open the public hearing and announce the public hearing for electronic message center signs. Is there any, there shouldn't be any abstains. That wouldn't be necessary. So at this time, we will ask for objections and then we will provide a staff report. Is there anybody that would like to be part of the public hearing to talk about their objections for the electronic signs, message center signs?
Mayor, I don't have any objections. You have some compliments.
Well, we are asking for objections at the time.
Okay.
We'll do proponents here shortly.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone? Please.
I just have a question. On the, it's section 1046.060 and it's on page 8 and it's number E. It says that prohibited sign types, and I goes on to say multiple different kinds, and freestanding signs. what exactly is considered a freestanding sign?
Well, as we do not have the city planner available this evening, I can't answer that directly because I had that same question myself. So we will make note of that question and make sure we get that answer before any decisions are made.
Okay.
That was on page 8. Thank you.
And it's number E.
Thank you.
Number two, letter E.
Freestanding signs. What that means. Any other objections at this time? All right, we'll move on to staff report. The report was provided as part of the packet, the council packet. Application summary was the request. The city seeks to amend the Yamhill Development Code by modifying the language for reader board signs and establishing new regulations for electronic message center signs. Proposed language is attached as attachment A. The decision criteria, Yamhill Development Code, section 10.132.060 to section 10.320.100. I do know that a council member did have a statement and was not able to attend, so I will read his statement at this time. Thank you. A statement from council member Andrew McMullen. Reader board signs. Reader board signs are prohibited except for theater marquees advertising only current presentations and automobile service stations advertising only fuel prices. No more than one reader board sign shall be permitted for each theater and automobile service station. This makes no sense, and I am unsure why theaters are mentioned unless we are planning to add one to town. It should be stricken out of the code since we are looking to add, delete things. If we are addressing the light of the reader board causing undue stress to citizens, then I would be more than happy to add other light sources that create dilemmas, such as street poles right next to houses that shine in windows the whole night, the constant nighttime traffic at Beulah Park that sit at the top and shine headlight into house windows, among other issues. If we are going to look at the ordinance, then we better start looking at them overall. The complainants have to take into consideration the effects as a whole and not just a sign that is much further away than many other lights within town that could be pursued as way worse disturbances. As for aesthetics of the neighborhood, there is none. There are area consists of houses, one on one street, and businesses on the other. This is part of the issue, and the sign is at the least of it. There has been no progress of any kind of development or progress, let alone creating better aesthetics. So far, A1 Logging has been the only business to attempt to create better aesthetics. This proposed amendment needs to be looked at more before being ratified. All right, we're still at public hearing, staff report. Proponents, is there anybody that would like to speak on the proponent of the city signs?
Yes, Mayor.
Please.
Part of my agenda, but that's okay. I'll break it into pieces. I don't mind. My name is Robert Davis. I represent Yamhill Neighborhood Association, and I'm glad to be here. And it's wonderful weather outside. I'm really enjoying this less than 95 degree weather. Let me find my place. It is number 8 on my agenda regarding the Planning Commission sign code. As YNA has attended the previous Planning Commission meeting on August 17th, 2022, we agree with the new modifications of their report that Walt Wendelowski will soon be talking about. Obviously, he's not here tonight, so I guess he won't be talking. And suggest to the council to accept and approve these modifications as submitted to the council. That's it. Plain and simple.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other opponents who would like to speak on behalf of the signs? Okay. Public agencies, none. Letters in red, proponent rebuttals. Any rebuttals? No rebuttals at this time. Staff recommendations. Do I have any staff recommendations on how we should pursue this? Our options are following through and making a decision according to the staff report, or holding off until the staff report can be addressed and the city planner can be available for questions.
I say we hold off till we can get some of our questions answered.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. At this time, before I close, is there anybody else that would like to speak on the public hearing? At this time, I will close the hearing and council can deliberate. In other words, can I get a motion?
Motion to wait?
To continue. To continue the hearing till next month after we get the city planner and the
I make a motion to continue the public hearing for file number CA21-03, electronic message center signs, until next month when our city planner can attend.
I second.
And get a vote, please.
Chari, aye.
Hadeen, aye.
Husky, aye.
And Potter, aye. Hearing is complete. On to public comments. Yamhill encourages all citizens to come to public comment on any city business except land use applications. Those must be done at the planning committee meetings. This is not a dialogue platform. The council is here to conduct business, and we will limit the public comments to 4 minutes, and that is for one report or one opportunity only. And if you request special accommodations or additional time, please let us know ahead of time. And so at this time, I open up for public comment. Is there anyone that would like to speak for public comment time? Please, Mr. Disbro.
Good evening, Mayor and Councilors. Thank you for allowing me to speak on this very important matter. I have presented a copy of the email address directing clean service fees concerning concerns sent to you, Mayor and the Council, earlier this week to be included in tonight's record. Additionally, I must give the city an A+ for consistency, as the stormwater fees collected from the rate payers is being deposited in the sewer fund with no evidence in any sewer or other expenditure line for those fees. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Disbro. Is there any other public comment? Please.
If I could sit, I'm still having issues with a previous problem. Patty Perrin, 215 North Maple Street. So I went onto the website this week to get a copy of the agenda and the packet for tonight's meeting. And I saw where there was a what if you were mayor contest for the kids. So I looked at it just to see what it was all about. And in part, it read, a mayor is a figurehead for the city, painting a picture for the culture, style, ideas, and image of the community. So bringing business to the table, executing with honor and integrity. So, and it also stated it represents a report card on the city, what mattered, what changes, and how our problems faced. So that brings me to addressing city council. I've been addressing city council for years regarding the speed on Highway 47 in Maple. The city attorney went so far as to say that city council no longer had to address the issue because there was no resolution to it. The taxpayers of the city have given the police department over $100,000 for radios and an e-ticket system, neither of which they are happy with. The officers have a problem getting time on the radio, and the mayor previously stated it is time consuming to use the e-ticket system and not enough revenue is generated. That leads me back to how problems are faced. Just like the problems with our public works building, water, sewer, continuous speeding, questions and concerns brought to city council, they are all swept under the carpet. How is any of this considered honor and integrity? And with all that said, I have heard some rumors, which I would hope can be cleared up, whether it be tonight or by next council meeting. And one is, the chief put a minimum speed at 35 mile an hour at the mayor's approval before anyone is stopped. That includes the 20 mile an hour school zone. The reason for it is too many residents of Yamhill were getting stopped and they were unhappy. Number two, 98% of the vehicles on Highway 47/Maple are doing the speed limit. In actuality, it's 98% are speeding. In the last city council meeting, the chief wanted to put a lien on homeowners for not paying the police fee. It was asked how many are not paying the fee, and the number 11 was stated. According to this month's city council packet, the revenue from July shows 454 households or residents, whatever you want to call them, paid, and 481 paid in August. And my understanding that the most recent subdivision, there are now over 600 household or residents. So that leaves about 150 payments not received for the last 2 months. And that is a far cry from just 11. And I'm going to add, I am one that is not paying. And the reason I'm not paying is because each month when I send in my water bill, I put a little statement on there that I'm not paying the police fee, because I have asked over and over and over again to address the speeding on Highway 47, and it goes ignored. So, and I say that over a different comment each month, but it's still going ignored. So from what I get out of this, our city's culture is about not abiding by the laws, spend money however you want regardless, and ignore what should be done to keep this little town from dying. At this point, I challenge anyone in the city, whether it be city council or residents, to come to my house, sit on my front porch, and see what myself and anybody else that lives on 47 sees every single day. And that is absolutely no enforcement when it comes to the speed on Highway 47/Maple. That's it.
Thank you. Any other public comments? All right, at this time, we'll go ahead and close public comments, and we'll begin with presentations. Mr. Matt Brown. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
It's so good to see you. I enjoyed your report.
Well, thank you. Would you like me to come up there or stay back here?
You are welcome to come sit right here if you'd like. When you are ready.
Well, so you have received a copy of my report. There should be two that I believe you should have. One is the wage and compensation study. The other is the budget notes and thoughts. I'm happy to start on either one that you would like. Most of this may be, if you've read the report, what may be most beneficial is for me to answer any questions or what I could do for you in the future. And I can go through my recommendations that I handed out at the end of the report, and we can talk through those if the city council wants to do that. So is that your purview of what you would like to discuss?
If you could just give us a brief summary.
Yep.
Brief as in, because it's extensive.
Yes.
A brief summary of the wage and job analysis. Thank you. That would be great. And then there's a lot of questions in the budget review.
Yes. So in kind of a 10-minute nutshell of the wage and compensation study, we went over the administration department. the Public Works Department, as well as a couple of positions in the police chief, as well as the SRO position that you requested me to look at. So I started off the report by talking about what kind of cities we look at for market studies analysis and how I came to those cities that we chose. So that is, I think, explained kind of in a very in-depth mode of probably more information than you needed, but it at least kind of hits the base points of why we chose the cities that we did for our analysis. Speaking firstly on the administration side, I also included for those positions, the city administrator, manager position, as well as the finance director position, because I know you are currently in flux of those positions and choosing how you want to move forward with those positions, depending on what kind of quality of candidates that you get. As I think I mentioned in the report, but if you were to go out for a city administrator position, it could be very likely that you find a city administrator that has a lot of finance experience. And so you may not need to hire a finance director, so to speak. Vice versa, you may have a city administrator that is more expertise in another area and you can kind of shuffle things. It really kind of is going to depend on how you want to move forward as a council with that head position and what candidates that you get. And that may be more of a discussion with those candidates of how they see things going. So I've put a market analysis there for the salary of the city administrator position as far as the average of all the cities that are in there. I did the same thing for the finance director, if you were to go out strictly for a finance director. I also looked at the administration clerks and the city clerk positions that you have. And I want to note it's in my recommendations, I wrote about maybe a potential need for kind of a discussion of the organization and an organizational chart. That helps identify what positions you may need now and what you want to grow towards in the future. And identifying those types of positions will help staff as well as myself or another consultant that may come in and actually identify what job duties each person should be doing. Right now you have an admin clerk that appears to be doing a lot of city recorder type duties. And I think that's just out of the nature of the beast of how things happen. And we all get handed stuff from time to time as people leave or transitions happen or anything like that. So identifying those key opportunities and job descriptions for each of those positions so that you can better entail and know what your staff is doing, and they entail know what they're supposed to be doing. So that I think is gonna take direction from you as a council and which way you want to go. And so I've provided a salary study for a city recorder position, should that happen. That also goes back to my original statement about the city administrator. You may have a city administrator that has city recorder experience, so you may not need to hire that position. So, are there any questions about the administration side that I can answer?
No, not for me.
So moving on, I think what next was the Public Works Department. So kind of your basic utility worker position, you had your plant operator position, and you have your kind of what I would refer to as your Public Works Director. And so those salary studies are included there. In the study itself, you'll see that in every position, there are some holes for cities. And I kind of talked about this when I went through the selection of cities. When you get down to cities of a population of a certain ballpark, and I would say roughly 5,000 population and under, that's when it gets really scarce of what information we can find. And even when we call or email, some cities just don't get back. And that's what's happened here in a lot of spots where you see that information is not filled in. So I personally called every city that I could not get a hold of. I emailed every staff member in the city hall office that I could find, and some people just never got back to me. And so I didn't want to hold up the study to try and find one or two cities with information. So that's why you see some pockets of cities where you may see a city in there that didn't return any information. You may see a city that only got back to me on one person, because in the budget, for some reason, I could find the police chief salary,
but I can't find anybody else. So that's where you kind of see those pockets. The salary study is in there for all three of those positions. I'm happy to answer any questions about the public works positions. I think it would be beneficial for especially probably the public works director position for you to identify some opportunities for that position, whether that be a job title change and a salary adjustment, whether you need to hire some additional folks depending on what those duties are for the responsibilities. So that was a big difference in that particular salary that I saw.
How would that change for the from the facilities manager to the public works director? What would that look like monetarily? Would that be about the same? Because a lot of these are public works.
Correct. That's based
supervisors.
Correct. So the reason the facility manager is in listed with the public works director of the salary study is based on what I could see from the current job description for the facilities manager. It is essentially a public works director, but there are a few things that I would probably add to the public works director job description to make that transition to a public works director.
Okay.
And that's pretty easy to do from other cities and even your ideas of what jobs and duties the public works director, what you want them to be in charge of. The nice thing operationally wise from a public work standpoint is that your salaries and wages for any of your public works employees should be fully paid out of your employees. So your water, sewer, your storm, which in turn means that your rates that you're charging your customers should be able to capture and pay for the salary, wage, benefits, and the operational costs of those utilities. And so if it's a matter of needing more money in the utilities, that's when you would need to go back and do kind of a rate analysis and really look at the operational standards that you have for the city and your needs, your equipment replacements, your water pipes replacement, all of those costs should go into that rate analysis to identify what rates you should be charging your customers.
We actually have that in the works.
Okay.
And we're approving it this evening.
Oh, great.
And it's part of the agenda. So we're on it.
That's fantastic.
It is.
Excuse me, Mayor. I'm having trouble hearing the speaker. Can you have the other part of the audience quiet or removed because I can't hear the speaker.
It might help though if you move over this way, maybe you could get a better angle of hearing too.
I think I'd be closer to the noise.
Please go ahead.
So are there any questions I can ask on public works side?
Yeah. Well, I'm the plant operator.
Okay.
And I was under the impression that we would speak and go over my duties, what I do before this was finalized.
Yes.
And that's never happened.
That was not happened.
I go above and beyond. I do a lot of things that the director used to do.
So that's not what I was tasked for in the timeline that I was asked to do it. As much as I would initially say, yes, we need to meet with folks, but I think that is going to be a second step of if the city council does want to look at doing some rate adjustments or salary adjustments, that would be that next step of going back and looking at that job description, just like I was talking with the public works director, the city recorder and all those things, and talking about the organizational part as a whole, what job duties are going to fall into which buckets. And then that's when we can kind of do a deeper dive into the salary study. Based on what I read in the job description that I had compared to the job descriptions that I could find. And I believe Sharon has the 115 page or so document. And that includes the job descriptions that are in that study. So every salary that you see, if I had a job description, I included it in an appendix. The file that you guys have today is the abbreviated version without the appendix. Because I didn't want to have you guys print 120 pages for each of you.
And in the finalized, as plant operator, I only saw Yam Hills. I didn't see any of the other cities. I only saw ours.
Okay.
I didn't see any other cities.
Okay, in the appendix, we should have those job
descriptions.
If not, I have them on my drive, okay. And I can do those if they're not included. Because
And I'm not trying to step on anyone else, but.
I will say in discussion with other cities and cities that I used to work for and that I've done this for in the past, your comments about I do so much more than this person. And I understand it's.
I ain't saying that above anyone in our city.
No, I'm not saying it above city, but when you're looking at job descriptions from city to city to city, every person that I talk to at this city, they're going to say, oh, I do so much more than what's on my job description. And then what inevitably happens is there's might be a few things that they're doing that aren't on their job description, but they're doing a lot more than what is asked of them outside of their job description. And that's a personal decision as far as what each employee is comfortable going with above and beyond what their job description does. And that's an opportunity for you to talk with management and the city council about job descriptions and that analysis of what you're supposed to be doing.
Understood.
Okay. So if there's no other questions on public works, it sounds like?
No. Anyway.
So the last group that we did was the police. We looked at the SRO position and the police chief. So many cities that were included in the market analysis do not have police departments. They go right to the county. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Yamhill is one of the unique smaller cities that does have an actual entity of police. And that can be something to be very proud of, especially for cities your size. Because that is not a service that is offered in many other places of this size. So that is something very proud.
Appreciate hearing that. Thank you.
Yeah. And for me personally, I know the difference between county and city. Many people in the general public don't understand county jurisdiction, city jurisdiction. And even being a county seat where I was previously, it was even very difficult to differentiate between for our citizens to say, well, that's a county thing. Well, that's a city thing. Mm-hmm. And having just the county makes you understand how thankful you are to have this force within your city. So I believe there are two cities in the police study, in the police chief study, that do have their own police force that were included. So that comparison is only from those two cities, not 10 or 15. So that's something to take into consideration, especially when you're doing salary studies. The salary of a police chief for a county will be vastly different than a city because the roles are so completely different. The SRO position is another very unique position to Yamhill. It is not a position considered very often, and it's not a position that is typically broken out the way that Yamhill has it. In most of the jurisdictions that I've worked either in or done consulting work for, most of the time it is a normal police officer that is assigned an SRO role. And there's a variety of ways they assign it by seniority, because usually an SRO officer has more decent hours than your regular police officer. So it's seen as kind of an extra benefit to be an SRO officer. So I did my best in comparison, and unfortunately the closest thing I can tie it to is similar to like a reserve officer. And that's the closest I could tie it to. Unfortunately, there's just no other cities that really distinctly break out SRO like Yamhill does. And so that's kind of a unique thing for your city. So it's difficult to include a market comparison for that.
You did well, though. I mean, you gave us some numbers and some differentials, which is good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, and then in summary, I included a handful of recommendations for you. They are at your purview to take this study and convene whatever results that you on to move forward or not move forward with on. It is completely up to the purview of the city council. You have paid me for to do the study and give recommendations. And that's what this report is. So whatever direction that you would like me to move forward on, or you're going to have a discussion and come back later. If it's you want to do some work and have another consultant come in, it's at your purview to decide how you want to move. So my job is to complete the study, give you as much information that I can give you at this time to make the most educated decision.
Well, I'm really grateful that you did this. This has been an eye-opening. It's been very helpful to kind of get a perspective and put a picture around all of it. What I take away from it is that we need to do an org chart to identify the needs and the gaps in the department, which will help us then define what gaps and needs we need to fill, which was helpful. We need to review all the job descriptions and make sure they're up to date, accurate of what is truly being done in each position, and then adjust the wages accordingly to that, the wages that you provided. And then a wage scale chart from 1 to 5, rather than like 1 to 28 or something, which was, yes. Anyway, 1 to 5.
Yeah, 1 to 5 was my recommendation as a good starting point. I've seen cities go upwards of 7, 9, 12, never 28.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
But a good starting point is 1 to 5. And that at least gives an opportunity for growth for folks within the city. Mm-hmm. And when you do that wage adjustment, it may be that a lot of the folks that are currently here jump right up to that step 5 because they've been here long or they've had that experience and they should probably be there as the most ethical decision for you as a council. But as time occurs, as attrition happens, as people move on, you will then fill in and start at that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And a question on the wage scale chart 1 to 5. How that typically works is the first year you start at the minimum, the step 1.
Yes.
And each year, depending upon performance, you move up the scale until you reach the 5th year, essentially,
yep.
Which is level 5. And then at that point, it's just cost of living increases, which the whole scale is then updated with the percentage of cost of living. So they would just receive the cost of living from 5 years on.
That is correct. Yeah. So there are a couple options that many cities have used. For example, a 5-step schedule may have a difference of 2.5 to 5%, say 2.5% between each step. So if I'm in my first year of employment, and even if the COLA was 0% of the next year, assuming that I have a successful first year and a review is done on a yearly basis, then that employee is awarded the next step. And so you get a 2.5%. And that continues until to step 5. If you were to do a 3% COLA, that means that employee moving from 1 to 2 would essentially get a 5.5% increase. Mm-hmm. So just like you mentioned, on step 5, you're getting just the COLA increase. There are some employees that over time, and as their workforce gets all of it alive and people are still staying in positions longer, there have been changes to things like longevity. So when you get to 10 years of employment with the city, you get an extra $50 on your paycheck, those kind of things. So there are opportunities after that step 5 if the city council and city administrator wants to go in that direction.
Good point. And typically, when you get to step 5 and you're just getting cost of living from that point forward, typically cost of living doesn't actually keep up with the cost of living or the pay scales in the surrounding areas.
Correct.
So at some point, can the council adjust that 1 to 5 chart?
You can adjust the 1 to 5 chart as many times as you want.
What I
would recommend is like you've done now, a market analysis of those positions. For a city your size, it's probably not proven to do it every 3 or 5 years.
years, but maybe every 7 to 10 years, maybe in that time frame. And you'll have to be the judge, and I'm sure your employees will let you know as well. You'll start to get that feeling when something may need to happen. So on year 7, maybe it's every 7 years, you do a little study to kind of adjust things to where the market is.
Make sure that we're
and make sure that you're staying competitive so that you can retain employees as well as attract.
I can tell you the 1 to 5 years, my employer does the 1 to 5, and I've been there 22 years. And so it's been limiting.
It can, and that's often when you see cities and organizations extended, and it, you know, goes to 7 steps, and it goes to 10 steps, and, you know, 28 steps.
I don't think we want to go there.
I would not, that would not be my recommendation.
No. And Kyle, you had
a I was just thinking, if it's 7 to 10 years, how many times is that going to happen in your career? 2 or 3?
Depends on when you start your career. I mean,
true.
So for 22 years, if the scale was evaluated 3 times, which I think it's been evaluated twice in my case, but
yeah, there are if you were in a larger city that had more resources and larger employment range, you would have, you know, like the city of Hillsborough, Weaverton, they have positions in human resources that's all they do every single day. You have cities like St. Helens, where I was, where we did one every 10 years. And it was a push to do that.
Okay, so those 3 things, review job descriptions, create an org chart to identify gaps, and a wage scale chart or recommendation or to-dos for the council. Yep. Okay, that's helpful. Helpful. All right, now are you finished with this one, with the wage?
Yes, okay. Whatever.
Because it was very helpful.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we did this.
So
the ask for the question.
I'm public comments over. Okay. My apologies.
Okay.
Can you please continue with the budget review?
So one of the tasks that we approved was for me to first go through with staff, because there was some staff that apparently had some questions and issues with how the budget and what it looked like and making sure stuff got in and was it done right and all those kind of things. So I had staff provide me with a list of whatever topics or questions specifically they wanted me to look at. And then I did kind of a general overview from my experience in consulting work on questions that I would raise or notes that I would just kind of say, hey, what's this? Why is this? So there's a laundry list. I don't mean that in the negative.
No, it's extensive.
I touched on every single fund that you had, and when reviewing the budget document, what questions I had just from an outside perspective.
Okay.
A lot of things in each fund that you will see a question on is the beginning fund balance for each fund. And I did not take the time to go back and watch or listen to your budget committee meetings. I did think that was a good use of my time to bill you for, so I didn't do that, but I can make some general assumptions just based on how I know government budgeting. So
even then it raises the question so we can address it.
Correct. So on the beginning fund balances, you have, or on a budget, you have 3 basic areas. You have a proposed budget, a approved budget, and an adopted budget. So the first proposed budget is what you should be receiving from your budget officer. And that person is typically your city administrator or your finance director. Okay, so they bring you a proposed budget, and hopefully it's balanced. That's always a good starting point. And then that person is who presents that budget to the budget committee, which is obviously you as a city council and your budget committee members. The goal of the budget committee can be very flux depending on what city you go to. Some cities allow their budget committees to get really into the weeds
and they talk about how many pens are you playing? Why are you spending $200 on office supplies? There are some budget committee meetings like the city of Hillsborough, which is over a $500 million budget, and it's done in 2 hours, in one night, because they don't go into the detail. And they talk about high-level projects and programs that are going on in the city and how the budget correlates to accomplish those goals. The role of a budget committee is very simple. It is to ensure that the budget supports the goals of the city council. That's it. Well, that and making sure it balances to zero. Hopefully that goes kind of unsaid, but your budget committee should be receiving goals from you as a city council, whether that be yearly goals, whether that be your 10-year vision, your 5-year vision, whatever that is. But your budget should support those goals. And that's what the budget committee is there for, to entail and give public opinion about does this budget meet those goals? When I looked at your budget, the beginning fund balance changed from the proposed to the approved. So if it was 100 million in the proposed and the approved, it jumped up to 140. Typically, I don't ever see that. My assumption is that you received the proposed budget, and then your city administrator, who I believe was your budget officer, came back during the budget committee meeting and said, oh, I have some updates, here's the new budget. And that's what got approved. That's my assumption. And so they had more current information and updated the numbers. In a perfect world, and under Oregon's budget law, that is not illegal. There is nothing wrong with that. In a perfect world, as long as the budget committee has approved an overall dollar amount, say your budget is 6.7 million and change, if the budget committee approved that dollar amount and that dollar amount did not change from the proposed, you have no issues. Okay. If that dollar amount changed from the proposed to the approved, ideally there should be amendments that are made by the budget committee. Okay. And those amendments are either written up or typed up, or at least in the meeting notes. But then the budget committee is approving a budget with these amendments. And that tells your auditor that this is the change from here to here and what those were. It's the same thing when the budget goes from the proposed or from the approved to the adopted. So when the budget comes to you for approval and you make changes as a city council, which I can see in a few funds, it looks like there were some changes from the approved to the adopted. I think it was the one off the top of my head was a public works fund, where I think it was a couple $100,000 added, some equipment, and then some money moved around. But again, if the total dollar amount, 6.7 million, doesn't change from those, you're okay. But it's not as clear and transparent as my recommendation would be, which would be to make sure to list those amendments and changes that you as a council are making from the budget committee's version. So that's probably the biggest procedural change I would recommend to you. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have on some of the other topics or anything that I can better clarify of why I asked a certain question.
Well, it is something that I know the council and will probably get together probably with the budget committee and go through line by line of what you've recommended, mm-hmm. and kind of review what was done previously and correct the budget as we go through it, line by line, so to speak. This was disheartening, though, to see some of this. And it just reiterated the need for what, for your foot. For what
I don't have any suspicion from what I could tell that there was anything done with ill intentions.
Yeah, I don't really think so.
That would not be any suspicion of mine, but it's more of a procedural process of Oregon budget law.
It could be done better.
Yes.
And we've known that for some time, that we can do better.
So I threw in at the end some recommendations for Oregon budget law training. There are a lot of free resources available to you through the state of Oregon, through, hopefully I mentioned it in my report, an organization called TSCC, Tax Services of, I can't remember the full acronym. It is a organization that is based out of Multnomah County. And their entire purpose was approved by the residents of Multnomah County. And their entire purpose is to review every public budget for procedurals and making sure that everything is done by the book correct. So that is all they do all year. Is review budgets and give training and recommendations. They just hired a new executive director a few months ago, so I have not had a chance to work with her, but it is an organization that is a great resource for you. They have webinars and trainings online that you can just click and watch. They have links to the Oregon budget law training and their little roadshow that they do every year from city to city. It's about a 3-4 hour training. It's not the most exciting thing in the world. I will give it that, but budgets are not that exciting.
And it's very appropriate for a budget committee to do this type of training.
Oh, absolutely. Excellent. Yes, I would, it would be my recommendation to make it mandatory before you start your budget. And you can very easily just send them a link. They can go sign up for the free training. They have now remote trainings that you can sit on. They also do a little road show where they go to Hillsboro or some of the larger cities, and they go all around Oregon. So there are a lot of opportunities, especially in Yamhill, for you to go and sit in person and see it if that is something you prefer. But online training is through either the state of Oregon or the TSCC organization.
TSCC, okay.
Yeah, they are a great resource. They do trainings at a lot of our government finance officers associations. It's a great resource.
Well, Matt, you've been remarkable. There's a few other things that we're wanting to do. What is your full scale of services that you offer?
So I recently have just moved from Portland to Eugene because I accepted a new position. And so I am currently the director of financial services for the Eugene School District. So I'm kind of drinking from the water hose right now. It'll be my second week of everything going on. And typically I do wage study analysis, organizational development, leadership training, and a kind of a hodgepodge of other things. But my main thing is financial related and organizational development. That's where I excel the most. And so that's where I think I bring the necessary tools that an organization may need. So if you are looking for someone to do a workshop with you about org charts, job responsibilities, job duties, those kind of things, I'm happy to continue working with you and offer those services to you. We would need to just kind of work out our schedule to figure out what times are best. And it may be a work session during the week at this time or something. I will have some availability to, get off early and come here and be here sooner than 7. Yeah, I do have some open in my schedule. I'm working, hopefully finishing up with Sweet Home Oregon right now. They lost their finance director for another position. So I was originally supposed to go in to just do organizational study. And then the day that I arrived, the finance director left. So, so my scope got a little bit bigger as they're filling in, but they just had a new city manager start. We have a process out for a new finance director. So hopefully within the next month or so, they're kind of wrapping up and I can finish that work and be done. That takes a majority of my evenings and weekends of just keeping them afloat, along with some staff taking on extra duties.
You got a lot going on.
I try to keep busy. It keeps me out of trouble.
Well, I'm very grateful for the time you spent for the city of Yamhill. This is a huge for us. And it's something we've been waiting for months to have this information, because there's lots of decisions that have needed to be made that we can't make until we really get an understanding.
Yep.
So this is helpful for us to move forward.
Yeah. If I could recommend, your first steps would definitely be kind of a work session of that chart.
Yes.
How you see the city should be working. And that will help identify what positions are needed. And you also want to consider growth within your city. If you have a goal to, you know what, we want to be able to bring an economic development director at some point, if that's on that wish list. But that's something we need to put down in writing, something you can see that makes it tangible and a goal that you can put into that budget for the future. Maybe it's not next year, maybe it's not 2 years, but in year three, year four. I know I heard city council when I was watching the last meeting talking about a new city hall or a new hall that you've been wanting to save up. Those are discussions that you can have on that five-year vision, that 10-year vision, and those long-term goals that you want to put on there to talk about. And identifying those goals, I will say from experience, truly helps the staff know what direction they're going.
That's excellent advice. Thank you. Very helpful. Well, I appreciate your time. And,
yeah.
And did you come from Eugene?
I did.
Oh. Yeah. I appreciate the distance.
It's okay. Never a problem.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your efforts here. We will use this to the full extent.
Not a problem. Sharon has my contact information. She's been kind of my main go-to person for getting information and talking about stuff. So you're welcome to just let her know to call me, or you guys can call me. My website is on there. It has my phone number on there. So you are more than welcome to reach out anytime.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would you like me to stick around at all?
That's totally up to you. You're welcome to stay and join us. You do have a long drive.
I do a little bit, but I also have some emails that I need to do.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. Multitask. Okay. I love it. Miscombobulated thing. All right, Water Advisory Committee.
Okay, Water Advisory Committee did meet last month. We kind of reviewed the CIP list and talked about that and what we would like to see happen, working on that list, and then reviewing the increase in the water fees to help offset some of those things. So we're kind of starting at the bottom, and our recommendation was the smallest thing on the list would be the first item that we would check off and get completed and just keep working on it. I know that Jason attended a meeting with Carlton in the city of Hillsboro this last week, and we have not got a report from him yet. So we're looking forward to that at our next meeting, and we'll see where that's leading to. So sounds like it was a good meeting, and look forward to that. So that's where we're at.
That's excellent. Thank you. I am going to ask all of the committees, actually, in the future, in the event that you're not able to attend in person and give us a verbal summary, I'm going to ask all of them to just give us a paragraph summary of each of their meetings each month on the council reports, so that we have that information. We can kind of track where things are at and support the community who is also requesting little brief summaries of what's going on, so we're all on the same page. Okay, thank you. Yamhill Downtown Association, Anita, I know you've been, she's gone now. Isn't that typical? You wait all this time and then.
She just walked away.
Yeah, she's not there though.
Nope, she was there.
She'll be back about 10 minutes ago.
Did she 10 minutes ago? Okay. All right, so we'll just go ahead with the Yamhill Neighborhood Association and
yes, Mayor, thank you so much for allowing YNA to speak. Tonight I was handed a piece of paper from Sharon with regard to some previous questions that YNA had asked the August 1st council meeting, and I certainly appreciate that. It was a very big surprise to me that it was answered. I don't know who answered it or who did this.
Can we go through it real quick to put it on the record? Would you like to do that?
Well, some of it I'm going to speak of tonight anyway. So basically, I'm going to do both in a form or fashion, if you don't mind. And if you find that it's lacking, I can do more.
Okay. I just want to make sure that the general community, all the citizens are getting the answers to your questions and not just
correct information.
So my first item on my agenda has nothing to do with this, but it's
and
actually
this being your agenda. Is this what you're?
Yes. YNA would like it possible for the past Zoom meetings of the Planning Commission to be linked to the city's website so the public can listen to all the past Planning Commission Zoom meetings. That aspect of the website has been missing. If you are apt at it, you can click on a current Planning Commission meeting and find a way through to all the Zoom meetings, but it's not a link that sits on the website like the council meetings, like the other meetings. So we're asking
So you're saying the planning committee Zoom meetings that have been recorded are not being posted on the website?
They're not in a tab that you can just click on to go to all those planning commission meetings.
Okay.
Not like the council, where you click on a council agenda and it brings up the page of all the past meetings. The Planning Commission doesn't do that.
Okay.
My second item is what's covered in the document that was handed to me this evening. And I'll read my question again. At the previous city council meeting on August 1st, 2022, YNA had asked the council to look into other sources of city planners using the practice called mandatory rotation to ensure the reinforcement, independence, and overall planning quality. So my question was, has this been achieved? And the reply that I was handed in the document tonight says it's up to the city council. So with that said,
it's on the agenda this evening.
We'll ask again. consider that, you know. My item number four, at the previous city council meeting on August 1st, 2022, YNA had asked the council to look to find a new accounting firm using the practice called mandatory rotation to ensure and reinforce auditor independence and overall audit quality. Again, the statement on the paper I was handed was it was up to the city council. So we're asking again for you to consider that as an option to the quality and independence of the accounting firm. And number six, at the previous city council meeting on August 1st, 2022, YNA asked the city to move its bookkeeping practice from cash to accrual basis so it can take advantage of the other accounting structures not currently available in a cash basis accounting system. And the reply on the document I read tonight was...
it's pending hire of a financial management.
I can't even read my own writing. Taking over the financials by some other organization, city administrator, finance director, or accountant. So
I don't know by that whether that means you're
it'll be addressed
your financials to a city administrator, finance director, or accountant.
That's the question, which is why we did the budget or the wage review.
Okay.
So we could determine
we're all on the same page.
Exactly. Then.
That's
and so wonderful. That is pending hiring of a finance person.
Sure. Yeah, understood. Good answer. I'll skip number 8 because we've already talked about that. Number 9, the Amhill Association has read the city's municipal code 1.08.040 that says 48 hours notice shall be given to the city residents in manner of paper notice in and around the city with regard to any executive and special council meeting session. My question is that true that your municipal code says that? Well, I'm sorry, I looked it up. It is true, but I just have made that statement because if so, then we understand the previous executive and special session meeting held on September 1st was only posted within 24-hour time of the meeting and only on the city's website. So we're asking that more notice or at least paper notice gets out, maybe on the post office, maybe on the bulletin board.
It is posted at the post office. Every event that the city does is posted at the post office.
Well, I don't mean to differ with you, Mayor, but I went to the post office on the day that meeting was to be held, and there was no document posted anywhere within the city. I checked the post office, P&E, and the bulletin board beside Larson House, and no posting was available. The only way that we knew about it was because one of my associates for the Amhill Neighborhood Association contacted me and said, have you looked at the website lately? And I said, no. Oh, do you know there's an executive meeting within 24 hours? And I said, no. So that's how it came about. So we're asking for a little more transparency, just a little more notice. We're not asking for much, just a paper document posted someplace within the city, something like that, anything like that.
I do have to say I was here when they printed the notice. I was here when they walked out the front door and down the street to the post office. Mm-hmm. Whether it was actually pinned to a board, I didn't see that. Well, but I do know that it was walked down to the post office to be pinned.
I believe you, Mayor. I definitely do. So in any case, we never saw it. So it would be nice that a little more diligence, I don't know what else to say, but we only found out about it the same day. So
I'm glad you did know.
So what we did and we attended, was good. Is there anything more on this other document you'd like me to
Robert, I was kind of looking for a page 2. I'm curious. Well, I just know that we'd requested that your presentation had a more positive note. And I was kind of looking for the positive things that the Neighborhood Association was doing.
Well,
that's my idea of a presentation.
It wound up, the positive things today wound up in the back seat because of the 11 items on my list. But speaking of
that's okay.
Speaking
if you're not
of
on your
positive
agenda.
Things, we had a residential meeting that we held for the sheriff. And I know the mayor was there. Chief Graven was there.
We all three were there.
Yeah, all of you were there. And so, and it was a pretty good turnout. It was 67 people in the audience, almost 20 people on Zoom. And for the most part, the sheriff's reason for being there was because YNA asked him to be there and just to be informative.
Mm-hmm.
Not to replace Chief Graven or any of his staff, just to inform the city residents of any options they might consider.
Thank you. You don't need to defend yourself.
I'm
looking for the positive thing.
Stating
the
fact.
Doing. Yeah. I know.
So, but with that said, I think the meeting went well. I think it was received well. And I thought that the sheriff did a wonderful job. And I appreciate every one of you being there, including most of these people. So with that said, I am done. And thank you very much for hearing me.
Thank you, sir. Yamhill Downtown Association, Anita, you're back. We're so glad.
I'm back.
Please join us. We'd love to hear what's going on with YDA.
Okay. Sorry. I'm over here snacking.
Need a minute?
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Swing a beer.
Swing a beer.
So anyway, well, we actually sort of just took the summer off. We had a, we were all very busy. But you know, still behind the scenes, we've still been, you know, planning and everything like that. And, so really what we have some events that we want to go ahead and bring back. We really want, to come together and get together with the city and everything, and to see if we're going to go ahead and put the Christmas event back on for this next coming year. And Karen and I were going to kind of reach out to you guys a little bit about that and just see what is going on with that. And we're going to check in with the restaurant across the street and kind of do what we did a couple of years ago. And so we're going to be working on that. We're also going to be going up and down and talking to business owners to see if we can get some donations and everything like that and get the Christmas lights back up like we did last year for a few months. And then we're also going to be where we have, we, it wasn't as if we weren't ever not established with the Oregon Main Street program. We've always been a part of that. But the Oregon Main Street program themselves, I mean, they have made some changes internally. And so Karen and I are going to be going to that conference that's coming up the first weekend in October. And then from there, we're going to be coming back and talking to a handful of the different building owners up and down Main Street to talk to them about some grants that are available to do facade improvements. And so we're in the background trying to figure how that all works out for building owners and what is required of us as the Oregon Main Street program, because in order to be able to get those grants, you do have to have a downtown association. And the downtown association also has to have their own ducks in a row. We have our 501c3 status, and we have our financials up to date and up to par in order for be able to assist other building owners in being able to obtain grants, so to speak. So that in a nutshell is what we're looking at doing this year and then going on into next year.
That's excellent. Yeah. Glad to hear you guys are back in the saddle. You were missed this summer.
Yeah.
I do know I did receive an email from Philip asking mm-hmm. for a handoff to the a fire district, new chief there. And I did speak with him today and told him that you would be reaching out and contacting him to organize and work with things that are coming up. I'm assuming part of that is the Christmas.
Yeah, the Christmas thing, but we're also looking for a location, and this is coming up actually for the following year. We're, you know, with the whole Beverly Cleary event, and that has become a bigger and bigger deal. And I mean, you know, we're getting regional, statewide recognition for it. And we have received a lot of great grants for it. And also just like, you know, donations as well. And to put on the, you know, the event, the children's literacy thing, all of that. And what we have created with, you know, the downtown walking deal. Yeah. And so we're, you know, with that event, we need some kind of cover, some kind of, last year, they did it out in the park. And it, during that time of year, during the springtime with the rain, you just never know. It was, you know, rather cold and miserable. And so they wanted to, you know, we were looking at their facility that they have, you know, with the pancake, you know, event. And then we thought, well, you know, maybe that might be something where we could hold, you know, sort of semi indoor outdoor thing where people would have at least some kind of cover. So that's a big reason. Pardon?
Have you spoken to the school? Have you considered?
I have thought about it. I haven't. So they're trying to keep it though on Main Street, or really close to Main Street. And I know the school is just like right down the way. And I think that was brought up, but we wanted to start out with the fire department first.
Okay. And what size area do you think would be needed? Would like one of those large wedding tent things be appropriate? Could we get something like that donated?
Yeah, I think that something like that would help big time. I think what we need to do is just, I know that we need to talk about it more, and we need to figure out how many people we think that will be there, you know, for that. So we just have just touched on this thing, just barely touched on it.
When is your next meeting?
Our next meeting, so we are, let's see, we just changed our meetings. Where's my phone? I forgot.
All right.
And I don't have my phone on me. My phone is in the other room, I think, or the next two rooms over. Let's see. Wait,
I know that I'll hear from you.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So I will send you a text, or if there's someone that I can email or whatever, that will then let everybody else know when our meeting is. But so I believe it's like the second week. I think we're doing like the second week or the second Tuesday or the second Thursday of the month, something like that.
That's a lot of seconds.
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
All right. So, well, cool. This, I know the city has always been very supportive of you. I just want to reiterate that if there's anything we can do to support any of your efforts, let us know. We'll do whatever we can within our abilities.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And likewise as well. We want to keep our, you know, relationship and, you know, and connection going, and help each other out.
Exactly right. And can I ask of you also, and I forgot to ask of the YNA, a monthly summary of where you're at and what's going on and what's coming up? Prior to the next council meetings and do that each month. Is that something that you guys could do for me?
Yeah. So in other words, what you're asking, I just want to make sure. So that basically like what we just, in other words, like what we just kind of covered with our last meeting, then maybe we would give you an outline of that. Is that what you're asking? Or?
Well, that would be good. But that just one paragraph summary of that outline would be helpful.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. We can do that. And we plan on attending the city council meeting too, as well. One of us. To attend and everything. So.
Great. Well, thank you, Anita. Is there anything else we need to hear?
Not at this time that I know of at this time.
Council members, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming. We look forward to seeing you next month, if not before.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. All right. Thank you. Okay, have a good night. All right, bye-bye.
Very cool. I'm glad that's picking up again.
And Mayor, I wrote down your request.
Thank you. Yes. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Five, unfinished business. I was going to answer those questions for you from last month, but we covered that. So I'm going to move on. New business, city planner. And we have our staff report and the previous contract. And I just want to make a note. So this, the request is for council to consider signing either a new contract, continuing the old one, or which isn't on here as an option, is putting it open for a contract bid. So the Morgan CPS services is going, not going out of business, but no longer employing the current city planner, Walt Wendelowski. So Walt Wendelowski is leaving that organization. We can either stay with Morgan CPS company, we can go with Walt Wendelowski and do a service agreement with him separately, or we can put it out to bid for and create it, leave it open to other city planners that might want to service the city. Just a note, the contract that we had with Morgan CPS was started in 2008, which was over 14 years ago. The contract expired June 30th of this year. And that's a long time to not have it competitive.
Just make sure we choose the best option for the city.
Exactly. I think we need to at least do our due diligence, like you guys are saying. And so with that in mind, can I get a motion on how we would like to proceed with the city planner position?
I make a motion that we open it up for bid for the position of city planner.
Try a second.
Councillor Askey?
Yes. Oh, are you asking me again?
Good morning. There was a motion to put the city planner.
And yes, I'm Askey. Aye.
Thank you, sir. Potter, aye.
Hadeen, aye. Hadeen, aye.
We are good. So the city planner position contract services will go out for bid. All right, ADP, which is the new payroll services company that we have recently contracted with to provide payroll services. And apparently there is a timekeeping module that they did not include in their proposal or in their bid. And apparently it's something that they have identified that our city needs. The timekeeping module is like an app that staff would go to this app, put in their hours. It would be then sent to the city for approval and then forwarded onto the company to automatically receive payroll hours worked. And then they would then process that payroll and timekeeping as needed. The one thing before we make any decision on whether we want to do that is we're running across some barriers. Sharon's been working with ADP to get them on board and get the services implemented. And the barrier they've run across is that they haven't worked with PERS before. And beings that, and they've said they worked with municipalities, but they don't know how to do PERS. Right. So that doesn't make any sense to me. So it's something that Sharon's working on figuring out. And if they aren't able to do it, then including this timekeeping mode would be irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because we would have to discontinue our contract with them and start over. So how would you like to proceed?
Are we locked into a contract with them if they can't do PERS?
No, if they can't perform the duties that they I've got the contract here with me. But if they can't do that, and that's what we requested, then...
No, I think we should wait and see if they can do PERS on them. Because I think we need this component, but...
Yeah, if they can't do all the services for us, then it's mute.
Do we need to approve this tonight based on if they can do PERS, just in case?
Nope.
Okay. just don't want to delay it if they are able to do.
We can hold off till till next month. It won't create any hardships. Councilor Askey, your thoughts?
Do we know how long it will be until we know if they can work with PERS? And then if they can't, is it just back to the drawing board to find a new?
We do that a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
We should know by the end of next week whether they can incorporate the PERS aspect of it. And if they can't, then we will cancel the contract and start the process over.
Okay.
Are you okay with that? Yeah. Councilor Askey.
Sorry, you broke up. What was the last thing you said?
Are you okay with that yes. Steps and processes? Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions from council?
No.
Can I get a motion on how to proceed?
I thought we were just going to approve this or not approve it, so I don't understand why we need a
review
motion.
Additional charges for the timekeeping module. So we are going to hold off or table the timekeeping module until the PERS module can be addressed.
All right. I make a motion we table the timekeeping module until the PERS issue can be addressed.
Okay.
And a vote, please.
Askey, aye.
Kuchar, aye.
Potter, aye.
Hedin, aye.
Goodness. All right, charge timekeeping module, ADP.
Itty bitty slides you can't read.
I know. Okay, next is the Oregon Association of Water Utilities Information Water Rate Study. Can you remember where that was? Was he going to join us? Tim? You don't know? Okay. So he's not there, so we'll go with that. So. Do you have a staff report you're familiar with?
We met with him last week and kind of went over the information that me and Jason need to send to him. I've sent most of it. Jason's been on vacation. He's kind of in the progress of works right now. So I'm going to send him on.
Kay was kind enough to find that statement that I saw earlier. Ta-da! All right, I'll go ahead and just read it for record. The water rate study from the Oregon Association of Water Utilities. Oregon Association of Water Utilities is pleased to send a proposal for a water rate study for the city of Yamhill for $15,000. Our goal for this project is to review your existing water rates, annual budget expenditure total, and recommend water rate changes in structure that support water operations and capital improvements. The scope of work, project management, meet the utility personnel to collect data that is found on the project questionnaire, confirming intentions and goals of the project, meeting one. Data assessment, single budget line, consumption, production, data review, and evaluations that support consumer rates. Documentation, prepare and present a draft schedule and spreadsheet associated with the first findings to the utility personnel and city council for discussion and gain direction from the city council towards completion of the study, meeting two. Final report, present the formal report to the utility personnel and city manager, council, board, if requested, of the findings and concluded recommendations, meeting three. If this proposal and costs are acceptable, please return approval by letter or email with confirmation and discuss an acceptable timeline for completion of the rate study. This proposal is valid for 90 days from the date of this letter, August 15, 2022. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact our office, Tim Tice. And this is from Jason Green, Executive Director of Oregon Association of Water Utilities. So they're giving us their process, their plan, what they want what they will incorporate, what we'd like them to incorporate, and how they're going to keep us informed. Do we have any questions, changes, recommendations?
A lot of money. That's my thought. Not that it's not worth it.
The return on investment.
I know.
It's just hard to see it go out the door. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a study.
I think for a study, I know, not even for actual action. Mm-hmm. However, this study is very, very helpful. So this study, I think, will be probably more so helpful than even the wage study.
Matt? I just want to make you aware that any wage or any rate study can be paid by system development charges within your departments or within your city. So that charge that you're seeing to do that study does not necessarily have to come out of your operations for water, sewer, storm, or your general fund. That is something that can be paid for by system development charges.
I think they told us that. I think it has just slipped our minds, so that's a helpful review. Is that what you were gonna say?
That is part of what I was gonna say. The other part was, have we already had the first meeting with Kyle? Is that the first meeting?
That's with personnel. That's not with us, the first meeting. And I don't believe that's happened yet. I think this is just their proposal.
I see. Okay. I thought his meeting with them was meeting one.
Okay. All right. So what we need to do, if proposal and costs are acceptable, please return approval by letter and email. So we just need to approve this or disprove this and give Public Works permission to move forward with the letter.
Mayor, one more thing. I might add that this is substantially less money than what Jason had thought this was going to cost the city by about $10,000.
Okay.
Thank you. It's a good value as far as I can see.
Well, the information is valued. Yes, I agree. So with that, can I get, unless there's questions, Councillor Askey, do you have any questions in regards to this?
No.
I make a motion to approve the proposal from the Oregon Association of Water Utilities in the amount of $15,000 and authorize Public Works staff to send a letter.
I second.
May I get a vote, please?
Askey, aye.
HR, aye.
Adina.
Potter, aye. Thank you all. Appreciate that.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I second.
Can I get a vote, please?
Askey, aye.
Potter, aye.
Adina, aye.
Potter, aye. And administration report. Staff provided a written out administration report. Some of this I'm going to defer to Chief Graven now that you're back. I'm glad you're safe. The IT server project, can you kind of give us an update on what's going on with the server that we have purchased and the IT agency?
The simple answer is not a lot. There has been, as we've heard a lot tonight, a few setbacks. The NetMotion licensing that was required for that was purchased, it came to find out that those were already in place from the previous IT provider. And a simple transition could have taken place as a result of that, but there was no communication with that. Was in place already. So our current IT provider had to start from scratch and work with the Yakima County IT, YCOM dispatch IT personnel to renew all of those, I don't want to say renew because that's not the right word, but to implement all of those licensings within that motion for that process. And so there have been setbacks from all of the processes that took place that were already there from the previous provider. So they're still working through the process. They, meaning our current IT provider, Scott has been, well, Scott at this point has been working with Yadkin County IT and Wycom IT to get through the processes that, because of lack of communication, it was understood that those, because they were already in place, so now they had to re-implement all of those processes. So the server, we're still having the same issues we've been having, with connection and printer issues and everything else, because it was referred to as the SD, and I have a different acronym. So Scott has met with all those people. I indicated they're working through the process. I inquired for a timeline, but I was not provided with an answer, so I don't know what the timeline is. So
I asked you earlier today at what point council or city and city should send a letter to the Northwest Tech Company and say, this is what we've experienced, this is what's not happened, this is what we need, not completed by this date and time, we move on. When do you think that would be appropriate?
2 months ago.
2 months ago?
So right away.
Okay. So if council were to give you the go-ahead to make that letter happen, would that help? Or would it, I mean, would it?
I think it's a good moving forward process to do. I can't answer if it will help. I would hope that it would, but I don't know.
Okay. Would it help you by doing that?
It would make me feel better.
Okay. That's the whole point. Yeah.
Will it help with the challenges that we're having? And the main reasons the challenges is, for example, me just leaving to go to a burglary in progress just now, and as soon as I get going, the computer stops working. And that's a fact. That's what happens.
That was the whole reason for changing computer companies. Is
correct.
Yeah. That's not good.
No. No. So do I have council's approval to request staff to send a letter to our IT company?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you,
yes,
could, with honesty, say it's becoming a safety issue. I'm not able to do my job.
It's been a safety issue for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all aware. So I do need to say, if everyone isn't aware, that there was some, I guess, I don't want to say misinformation, but there's, I don't know how to say it other than there's misinformation as to when we hired this provider as far as expertise and experience and personnel. I did come to learn that it was the person that was assisting us primarily was an intern with limited experience. And that presented a lot of challenges because I was helping with things that I have no idea why that person wouldn't be able to do it, that I would think in my limited experience in that field, they would know. And that's nothing against that person. Again, it's just misinformation. So that person is no longer there as of last week. So what is a contract that we have is one person that is our IT provider, meaning that's the company is one person right now. So that presents its challenges in itself. Especially when there are things that we all as a city to function as a government. I used to say, do it like we used to. That's happening. So it's essential that we have IT support, not we just maybe the police department, the whole city. And not saying that Scott is not doing that, but it's presenting challenges still. So something needs to happen. Would like for it to have happened 2 years ago, but in the last 2 months, trying to move forward and thinking there is that not freight train at the end of the tunnel, and seeing that it is still.
So, if we gave them until the next council meeting for answers, would that be too long, or would you want answers? Okay, so
when I sent the inquiry 2 weeks ago, I was hoping for a response, and then when I was told that I would be getting a response and sent an inquiry again Tuesday and again today. And still in here. So I don't have a timeline as to when we are transitioning to a project at an expense. For the last 2 months, it's been sitting there and useless.
Will you consult with the city attorney and ask him what our options are in ending the contract and being reimbursed potentially for loss of service?
I could do that. I mean, I already know the answer to that, but I could
please,
do that.
Please enlighten me.
So they're in breach of their contract. We're wanting to be able to sit down with them even prior to, and not even in light of all of this, or things that we're being charged for that we were in
not receiving.
And I've thought there to have been at least three times that that was to be discussed, and some of it was removed, and now it's back on there. So there's a lot of there's a breach of contract at this point already. So I would say, from a legal perspective, is to sit down and write a letter saying this is what we're supposed to be being provided. We're not being provided that. There are discrepancies currently in the billing process, and this needs to be worked out. And if it isn't by this time, then it's already a breach of contract and we need to move forward. But I can talk with the attorney about that.
So the giving them a timeline or a deadline, maybe that deadline should not be a deadline, but an appointment to meet with you and the attorney and anybody else you think is necessary for that meeting.
Correct.
Does that sound like a to-do?
Yes.
And Kyle, you had something you wanted to share?
Yeah, it might be a little meat now, but in our contract, I've been wondering, do we have 24-hour service? Because 10 o'clock, 1 in the morning, I'm unable to log in to the water plant. Am I allowed to call them? I don't have a 24-hour service number anymore like we used to. I have contacted them and they have helped me, but I don't know if that's extra charges or is that in our contract, and I've not got an answer yet, if anyone knows.
If you're needing their services at any time of day, they did offer in the contract 24-hour service, correct?
That is entirely accurate.
Okay,
I didn't ask the question. Yeah. Is that current? I would venture to say that it's not, because I haven't seen it to the extent where we've had to reach out, which I don't know that we're going to get billed for. Yeah. We've had to reach out to Yamhill County IT to assist us with their service, which we unfortunately had to go away from them years ago, which is before we got the why we had to go to the I just say Genuine Technologies, that's what it was. Why we had to go to them was Yamhill County IT, who we used to go through, was overwhelmed with all that they had to do. They're currently overwhelmed because now they have, I can't remember how many they had said, but they're updating all of their, they got brand new computers and they're having to onboard all of them currently with their limited staff. And ironically, that's what had happened before, is when we started going to this and years ago, and we had to go away from them. And still they were not even concerned of helping those that needed help at late hours with reports that need to be done regarding activity that needed to be sent to the DA's office, that if it didn't get there in a timely manner, because there's a timestamp that we need to see cases on things. So is it there? I've seen that it is not 24 hours. And I have sent what we refer to as tickets. So you go online and there's a portal that I go to write a ticket as opposed to be responded to. I still haven't seen a response from it. And that was last week.
That's not okay.
So if you are to reach out to them, can you document that if you need to reach out in the middle of the night, document whether you get an answer or not? Thank you. I appreciate that. Anything else regarding that?
So the first to me to say no would then go on, but
It just feels like this is all over again.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. Which is a good move.
All right, and we talked about the second water supply. The You've already reported on that, that you met with City of Hillsborough, actually you did, on Carlton to discuss project details, partnership, and potential funding from Senator Boquist. Is that correct? Okay. So that was all positive. That's part of the report. A state and tribal grant has been submitted for the treatment plant to reservoirs planning study project submitted on May 14th. Actually submitted on May 14th, 2021. So administrative clerk attended the webinar from DEQ for planning instructions for regions and recipients for fiscal year 2022. Congressionally directed spending, community project funding, grants program for water projects. Administrative clerk needs to know if City Council wants to submit a technical correction email to the grant managers to proceed with modifying the grant request to add or change to a study for a second water supply. I wish I understood what that meant.
Yeah.
The mayor, I think, in talking with Sharon and the water advisory, recommended that in doing that study, they also look at AKS doing the tie line with Hillsborough. And AKS said there should be enough money in that grant to do all of it. We just need to get that approved with the grant people that we can amend that so that they can take on that added.
So the grant was submitted May of last year, and we want to change.
So instead of just going from the treatment plant to the reservoirs, it would be that and adding the tie to Hillsborough.
Which is still going to be up on Mount Richmond?
Admittedly, that is the route, yes.
If we can move forward with this would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get grant for it, this would be great. So is there any barriers for having them include these changes that you know?
There shouldn't be.
So you just need permission to move forward on it?
Sharon, we just need to submit to the grant people a modification of the grant.
To include AKS and the tie line.
Include the tie line in that study.
So I say we direct the administrative clerk to submit a technical correction.
I second. Vote, please.
Askey, aye.
Jari, aye.
Potter, aye.
Adine, aye.
All right. Move forward on that grant. Yes. Hazard mitigation grant, working on application that is due at the end of this month for an upgrade to the water capacity of the existing. That doesn't even make sense. 19,590.5 million gallon concrete water tank. Is that a correct number?
1959. That's the concrete.
19,590.5.
So a half million gallon tanks.
Yeah.
So
1959 is the age
that's
of it?
That's when
it's
built.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
There should be a break in that.
Yeah.
What? Okay. Do the end of the month for an upgrade to the water capacity of the existing 1959 half million gallon concrete tank and a 2002 half million gallon water tank with more compliant building codes and seismic retrofits. Working on that application. It's due the end of this month. Okay. And then Betsy Emery said that she will request a letter of support from Senator Merkley to include with the city's application. So that's being worked on. That's awesome. Yamhill County ARPA Water and Sewer Infrastructure awarded February 2022. Sent quarterly report on August 31st, 2022. Bids for water project identified and documented for procurement process. Contract drawn up by legal for Delta for the water filter media project and awaiting for the completion date from the facilities manager to fill in and send to Delta for signatures. That's excellent. Were you aware of that? Yeah, water needs, okay, good deal. After clarification from legal on procurement process for the influence station planning project, contacted AKS to proceed with this project. So we're moving forward on several water projects.
Wednesday on that. And went through railroad station and headworks and stuff.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it was very needed.
Can you kind of give us from your perspective rather than this perspective, what's happening?
We're talking about putting our railroad station right now. It's rusted. Our rails for the pipes are deteriorating. Our pumps. And they've been rebuilt. So they're talking about putting a new wet well in and pulling the lift station, changing the size of the pipes, new flow meters, and new transducer, kind of just revamping the whole thing. And it's very needed.
And this is all it'll part of the ARPA award words?
I don't know anything about
it. Okay. That's all right. That's exciting, though.
Yeah, it's
good deal.
It's needed.
So, is it your impression that most of those things you just mentioned will be covered by other funding? Okay, don't we don't know yet. Okay,
I know we got a grant for the survey and everything, and move forward from there. But
so, all in good time. It looks good. Good deal. Thank you, Kyle. I'm glad you're here. A small city allotment, administrative clerk submitted a grant application for the East First Street project, which will add 450 feet of 8-foot wide sidewalk. East First Street, okay, which will add 450 feet of 8-foot sidewalk, 8-foot wide sidewalk, with 3 ADA curb ramps, curbs, and a stormwater catch basin between Highway 47, South Maple Street and South Laurel Street. Excellent. And that's happening, that happened on, or that was submitted on August 31st.
Nice.
That's exciting. I'll be anxious to hear how that comes out. Whew. It'll be easier to read. Okay. Mr. Police Chief.
My turn now?
Yes, sir. We did.
Hopefully, I don't know if it's in there. Is my report in there? Okay. Does anyone have any questions? Information? I really don't have anything new to report specifically about the organization. Things are going well. Keeping busy. There's been some unfortunate events that have been taking place throughout the area. That the guys have been dealing with. And so I've just been being conscientious of them and their well-being. And I'm glad now that there are programs that weren't there. You know, I was going through my younger years and things. So just got to be mindful of that. I know everyone is here, but mindful of that with the organization and the community and things that are going on. It's a challenging time with a lot of things. And I'm glad that we have a communication, meaning my organization, those I work with, that we're able to talk and things, and they know that they have the support of the city, and that we have all the communication that we all appreciate also. So I know that there has been conversation about things that aren't accurate. So if anyone ever has any information that they question about the police department, feel free to contact me, because I don't know that. I know that I have talked on things, and I know it hasn't fallen on deaf ears to the police or to the city council from the police department. If you ever have any questions as a council that you feel the need to ask me, please do. And I know that we do that, but there's always known that that's open. So if that does happen, I would also like to maybe inquire what can be done. For community members, and some of the things that are said that I don't know who would believe that, but feel free to, if you have community members that inquire about things, feel free to have them talk with me or feel free to ask some questions, because I think a lot of you know the answers, we do communicate. Mm-hmm. So again, I appreciate that. And if anybody has any questions that they come to you about, feel free to have them reach out to me and feel free to answer the questions and things that you know.
Thank you, appreciate that. The there was a recent successful by one of your officers. Is I know that's still under investigation, so we can't share that. Is that?
No, not currently.
Okay.
In specifics, but the guys do a lot of excellent work and successful operations, and there's currently one that's taking place, but it can't be discussed because of the intricacies that wasn't there.
Maybe later.
Possibly.
Okay. Cool. And we used to, you were giving us some really cool reports, and you went back to the original way of doing. Why the change?
Specifically because, one, it's a lot of work, and in me doing that, things were taken out of context by certain individuals. And then when I answered the context, it was still believed to be out of context. And when I would reiterate what was said, it was just kind of repetitive. And there were statistics that were taken from that were inaccurate and taken out of context. And then I would not want the community without being able to answer for myself directly as to what that context is. So as far as like definitive percentages, a simple example would be, I wasn't aware of this, and I actually, the sheriff called me after a meeting the other night going, I guess I owe you a lot of money. Because we do not work 30% of the time within the city limits, and then 10% are getting compensated outside of the city limits. But when people hear that and they hear it as a fact with the actual number of hours, so we don't hear it was 30 hours and 10 hours, and that's not accurate. We work 40 hours in city limits, and we're not compensated by the sheriff's office, other than that when we're not here, they cover the city for us, and we assist them on things also that are local. So that's one of the examples. So things like that where percentages are taken from that. And then there are things that are done when I was doing that report through the CAD system that would be taken out of context. For example, a traffic stop that's done where the violation occurred in the city and they're stopped at milepost 35, which is still in city limits, but under the CAD system that is in reference to Alvin County. Or even on Moores Valley Road past the bridge, past Poplar Street, that would be constituted Alvin County. So the statistics would show, and I'm not going to skew those, but that's outside of the city limits. So that would be a percentage of outside of the city limits for that statistic, not in the city limits. And so to avoid having to explain all of that, because people don't understand that or think that that's the actual statistics and it's not accurate. So it makes it much simpler.
Okay.
But if anybody has that question, I'd be happy to answer that. Because I still keep those records. It just doesn't, I don't feel the need to have to put that on there. Should it be skewed or taken out of context or missing out?
When all the details aren't provided, yeah, they don't. It's easy to misrepresent the information. I get that.
Sure.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Public Works.
You mean this is my first time. So,
what's your accomplishment at Public Works recently? What have you guys?
Well, recently we had a mainline break on Hemlock and Azalea, and we got that fixed within. Well, I think we heard about it about 5 a.m. We had it fixed by noon, before noon.
Thank you.
You're welcome. From first to second on Hemlock, we got that paved. And so it doesn't look like a gravel road anymore. We had a air relief valve out in the field from the water plant to the reservoir that had a leak. We got that all replaced, rebuilt. Was that 2 weekends ago? We had the force majeure power outage that PG put on us, and the water plant didn't have power for 2 full days. That was long, and we kept it running, and everything went smooth, considering everything.
So for people that don't know, you have a generator there.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, and we used probably 80 gallons of diesel to keep it full through that. We worked 24/7. One of your officers was kind enough. He had to call out our way and stop by late at night and checked on us, and that was nice.
So when you have to use the generator to power the plant for 48 hours, you have to be there and present for that entire time?
It's best because
you don't know what's going to happen.
You don't know. I mean, and if they turn power on, spikes and two low fuses. But when they do it, shut it down like that is safer than when power lines spike. That's usually when we have fuses blow and transformer and our equipment kind of have issues, but it went smooth.
Do you have all the supplies you need for staking yourself out for 48 hours like that?
Yeah, mostly like.
Besides the whiskey.
Probably. I've got plenty of that. There was no issues on any of that. We just kind of swapped. Like I worked probably 12 hours and then they came in, we kind of swapped and just kind of threw your sleeping schedule off, but I have a cot up there, so we're good. And but that really went smooth. There was no issues. So
is that part of a plan that you have, a process you have already set up?
Something we were working on, and we have a pretty good idea now. I mean, it was a good learning. I mean, since I've been here, I've had day 24, 36 hours without the plant running. Luckily, I live right there, so it's not a big thing, but it went smooth and it was good. It was kind of a good experience for Jason and Austin because they've never really gone through that. So it was good.
Well, thank you for being there.
Yeah.
Please let us know how we can best support you.
It was really windy, though. I tell you that. No.
No. No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, was much ado about nothing.
PG might have not been happening.
I get it.
And then probably a month ago, we had our PLC, one of our modules went out, and we kind of ran the plant for, it was probably 24 hours, we couldn't make water. We really had a spare part, but we had to have our contractor, Camtronics, had to come from Medford to install it. And once he got there and he installed it, we had a spare part, but we had to buy a couple more. They're not cheap. So we got spares of everything. So if that happens again, we're covered. So
has the purchasing situation been corrected?
We had that meeting. We're working on it.
Okay.
To my knowledge, it hasn't changed.
It hasn't been submitted. It hasn't been approved.
I haven't gotten a card.
Okay.
Other than that, I know there's more I'm not thinking about.
Meters.
Oh, meters. We have replaced several more meters. We've almost got Route 3 complete. And we're working with Tim Tice over at WU, kind of getting a plan of which ones we need to redo, most important. So we're working in progress and it's going.
That's awesome. Sounds like you've been accomplishing a lot.
I'm trying.
You've been a little busy.
Any new faces?
What's that?
Any new faces?
No. Yes.
So Kyle, would you talk about the longevity of the new meters and how that will alleviate 4 or 5 days worth of work by a single individual reading meters, while how they'll be automatically read? And
so right now the new ones are radio reads. So I put an antenna on top of my truck and I just kind of drive by and it picks them up. Rather than getting down on the ground, it saves a lot of time. The consumption, the low flows, a lot of our meters are well out of date, as some of you may know. especially our big 2-inch, 3-inch meters, which that's where we generate most of our
money.
So we're working on replacing those. And the new ones, they're low flows. They read it so much better. So it's going to help our cash register. It's going to save time just reading meters. They're pretty good. So I think our warranty is 15 years on them.
From what I understand, if there's an antenna installed here, that it would read the immediate 6 or 8 blocks around the city hall.
Another level of contracts. I don't know how far it reaches, if it reaches all the way out. At this point, I think that's kind of out of our, what we need for what it would cost. I'm not positive, but right now it's working pretty good. Just obviously we still have 500 more meters. I mean, we have probably 120 installed now out of 616. So
yeah,
still a work in progress, but we did take a tractor truck and we sucked out all the meter boxes on almost the entire city. So we got them cleaned out so we can just, once we get them, pop them in without having to do a lot of work. So
good.
Smart. Okay. Very smart. Anything else? Perfect. Thank you for that. Oh, cover that. GPEC Electrical Contractors Estimate. I don't know what that is. Do you?
Okay. So, this comes back to our power outage. A month or 2 months ago, we were talking about getting some backup power at the reservoir. And so this is to do an emergency backup, a generator, because when we lose power, our reservoir flows, the clay valve that opens and closes it to fill the reservoirs doesn't work. So even during the power outage, we'd have to every 4 or 6 hours drive down to the reservoir. I'm not going to say how we got power to it, because we'd have to manually do everything, open and close them, and we didn't have any visual of what's going on at the reservoir off our SCADA screen like we usually do. So it's all just, so we'd have to go every 4 hours back and forth checking it. So this is a backup generator system just to keep everything powered. And that way we'll have constant, that's basically what it is, just.
And that's for the reservoir?
For the reservoir.
Okay. So we don't need it in the plant? We
have all that covered.
Okay.
But the reservoir, we couldn't see it. We didn't know what was going on there at all, unless we went down and visually were there, so.
Is it something installing a camera would help at all?
No, because you still have to go and open and close the valve to cover. So this will cover all that.
Excellent.
And we started doing that before the power outage, actually. So this kind of
motivated.
Yeah, I was like, that's why we're doing it.
Perfect. Thank you. Anything from counselors? Any statements, comments, input,
reports? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Councilor Askey.
Oh, I was just saying no.
No. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm thinking I'd like my third graders to sing at the Christmas thing. So I'll make that happen.
I love that.
Me too.
I miss hearing that. That's fun. They can maybe lead the Christmas tree.
Maybe.
Lighting event.
Maybe.
Because my singing is not. Anything from Councilor Adine?
Just thank you to all the community members. It's been great to see all the support for the police department. And we get work with them closely, but it's great to see all the support from the community members on the social media and even at the event the other night. I talked to quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate the input from everybody.
I agree. Thank you.
All right.
With that,
make a motion, we adjourn.
We are adjourned.
All right.